When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and with me is Charles W. Chuckers Bryant.
I'm hungry.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
I just had a sixth of a slice of pizza.
Oh, is there pizza out there?
Yeah, you better hurry.
That's all right.
It's pretty good.
I'm kind of off pizza. The cheese gets to my stomach. That's being detailed in our digestion podcast.
Yeah, you got a lot of great support.
I did.
For people. Anything work?
I am going to make an appointment with a specialist for the GERD.
Good.
And get scoped, I think they call it, when they drop a camera down in there and they find out that I have a small dragon living in my stomach.
Right. And then the scope drops a film canister into your stomach acid to be retrieved later and developed.
Yeah. So thank you for that support, people. I'm definitely going to go get that checked out.
He's going to the specialist.
I'm not going to quit drinking red wine.
Is that the problem?
Well, no. I mean, I get heartburn from anything, so that means I've definitely got a real issue. But obviously things like red wine and chocolate and margaritas and citrus.
You poor guy. All the best stuff.
All the best stuff.
Margaritas, you could go either way.
I like them during the right time of year.
You need to just drink like White Russians all the time. It has a lot of milk in it.
Chocolate, though.
That's a Black Russian.
Oh, right.
White Russian.
Or just drink vodka.
Just drink milk.
Okay.
And pretend you're wasted.
And be healthy.
Chuck.
Yes.
Have you ever fasted?
No, I've done the little master cleanse thing, but, which is sort of a fast, I guess.
Is that the lemon juice one?
Yeah.
Okay. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Well, I've done that as well.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like, gives you shingles.
Yeah. I'm not going to do it again.
You're not?
Nah.
So I fast, like, all the time.
I know that.
All the time may be hyperbole, because I actually do eat sometimes.
You just ate a eighth of a slice of pizza?
A sixth of a slice. So I have a pretty good understanding of what fasting can do and what it feels like. But what I did not know is that it comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word, fasten.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's the fact of the podcast for me.
Well, that's remarkable. Fasten?
Fasten.
Fasten?
Fasten. There's a F-A-E-S-T-E-N. Fasten.
Wow.
Yeah.
So people have been doing it for a while then, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah. Apparently, fasten means to hold oneself from food. And yeah, people have been doing it for a while because it's firmly rooted in a lot of religious traditions that have been around for many, many years.
Yeah.
And then there's other reasons that people fast, more modern ones, e.g.
Sure.
medical fasting.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about.
Political statement fasting.
Yeah.
Hunger strikes.
Yeah. There's a lot of that in the 20th century. It was big for hunger strikes.
Oh, of course. Still is.
But let's talk about fasting, shall we?
Okay.
Let's talk about specifically religious fasting, Chuck.
Great place to start. It's been going on for thousands of years in religion.
So you answered your own question.
Yeah, I knew.
Eventually.
I was being coy. A lot of times they initiate a fast to, someone will do that to, maintain contact with the divinity. And some say that if you fast for long enough, you will hallucinate and that might be, they might interpret that as communicating directly with God.
Right. And I looked that up. I couldn't find out exactly why you hallucinate when you fast. I mean, that is corroborated all over the place. The best I could find.
Because it means you're dying.
Well, the best I could find is that it's a vitamin deficiency leads to hallucinations for some reason, but I don't know why.
Huh.
But no, not necessarily. I also came across some articles that suggested that hallucinations are a lot more natural than we would think, because we associate them with mental illness or drug use.
Right.
In the West, we have a lot of negative connotations for hallucinations that aren't necessarily spiritual.
Right, when in fact other cultures might believe it's a form of enlightenment.
Right, so hallucinations may not be bad. It may not be that you're dying, and it may not be that you're mentally ill. It may just be that you're hungry.
Yeah, all right, that's a good point. A lot of times religious fasts are undertaken because you're atoning for sins. It's punishment. You're asking God for your forgiveness, for your misdeeds.
Yeah, these are the big two, basically. Like, you fast religiously, either to get closer to God or to tell God you're sorry.
And thus get closer to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what you mean, though.
Thanks.
So let's, you know, you want to talk about some of the religions and why and when they fast?
Yeah.
Buddhists?
Buddhists fast on full moon days, holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it mainly for purification and to free the mind, apparently.
You know your butt will follow if you free the mind. That's an old Buddhist adage.
I had not heard that.
I think so.
Their fasting is mostly, it's not a full fast. You can drink, so I guess you could have soup, maybe just a broth. God help you if you have noodles in it. But you have to abstain from solid foods.
Right. You can live on broth.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't have a very productive
life
GI system.
Right.
But, yeah, you could live on broth. Catholics, they fast on Ash Wednesday, Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they can eat a small meal without meat on those 2 days.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly a fast, but they...
On Fridays during Lent, they're not really supposed to eat meat.
At all.
That's why we have the filet of fish, and for a little while in the 60s, the hula burger.
That's right.
Because Ray Kroc was like, man, there's a mess of Catholics out there, and they're not eating burgers on Fridays, but we need to get them in the store anyway, see?
I'm thankful for that, because I love a filet of fish every now and then.
Yeah.
Like, once a year. Catholics fast to show their control of their fleshly, which is one of my favorite words, fleshly desires.
That's so Catholic.
To do penance, to show solidarity with the poor and people who might not have food.
So I went to a Catholic school for the first couple of years of school, Our Lady of Perpetual Help.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, they would serve rice with a pat of butter for lunch. And it was kind of this fast, but it wasn't really a fast because we're still having rice. But basically the whole idea was, this is what poor kids in Bangladesh have to eat every day.
Right.
And you're just this spoiled kid.
Yeah.
So eat some rice instead and kind of get in the mindset. And I never did it because I got the point. But some of my friends would eat the rice and then eat their own lunch from home as well. Which even in like second grade, I'm like, that seems wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think you're supposed to be doing it like that.
Yeah. That didn't even have to be religious based. You could do that in school today and just say as a hunger awareness.
Like in Australia.
Yeah. Australia. What is that? The 40-hour fast?
Uh-huh.
Do you know anything about that?
I know that I think they have it once a year and many, many Australians take part. And basically the whole thing is to, like you say, raise awareness of poverty, of the state of the poverty stricken, and also to raise money, Tim.
Oh, the 40-hour famine, excuse me. Which is a fast.
Yes.
Boy, we headed that one off at the pass.
Good going, Chuck.
Eastern Orthodox church members, they will fast on Lent. They observe the Apostles' Fast and the Nativity Fast. And they think that it could strengthen your resistance to gluttony,
yeah,
which is obviously one of the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
And they eat no meat, dairy, eggs, or fish during these fasts. So it's my understanding they can also eat a little something, just not those things.
Like carbs. They can eat bread.
Oh, that'd be nice. Some bread and broth.
Bread.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
What else you need?
I can't think of anything
besides fruits and vegetables and stuff like that.
Well, no, it says no meat, dairy, eggs, or fish. So you could have fruits, vegetables, broth, bread. That's a good kind of fast right there.
I wouldn't even call that a fast.
No. You couldn't actually get gluttonous on that.
You could. The Jewish folks, they fast on Yom Kippur,
mm-hmm.
which is the Day of Atonement. And they are doing this to atone for sins, obviously, like the Catholics, and special requests from God.
I know, it's so funny. It's like, hey, I'm not going to eat for 25 whole hours, but I have a huge favor to ask you.
Right. Sun up to sundown, is that the deal?
Yeah. Which, and they have one of the tougher fasts because they don't eat or drink anything for 25 hours.
Right.
That's like no nothing.
That's a real fast.
Yeah.
Mormons, they fast on the first Sunday every month.
This is kind of a weak fast, if you ask me. This is like a Tuesday for me. They have to skip two meals.
They skip two meals, and they think it helps them obviously get closer to God, like many of the religions do, and just basically just focuses their minds on God for
well,
the day.
Well, the cool thing about the Mormon fast, in my opinion, is that they're also required to give food and money to the needy.
Right, what they would have spent, perhaps, on those meals.
It's probably a good one.
We should do one on Mormons as a whole. We've had that requested a lot.
We totally should. I've read about this one guy named Paul Kingston,
uh-huh.
and he is the head of an accused, alleged crime family that's a Mormon sect also.
Oh.
And he does 40-day fasts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
40 days, man. Can you imagine?
No.
This guy did it. He does it.
I bet his breath stinks so bad. we'll get into that. Muslims, they fast on, for the observance of Ramadan, the ninth month on the Muslim calendar. And many of you might not know what Ramadan is. You want to tell them? I'll tell them. It commemorates the month when the Quran was first revealed to Muhammad. That's what Ramadan's all about.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I gotcha.
So they don't have food, they don't have drink, they don't smoke, they don't curse, they don't have sex.
From sunrise to sunset.
Yeah.
For a month. Every day for a month.
That's right.
And millions of people do this during Ramadan. Which is when? Is it like, does it take place roughly in November on the Gregorian calendar, I think?
Is it?
I think it is.
And we've been asked to do one on Ramadan too. So we're going to, we got a lot. We haven't explained hardly anything, have we?
No.
We still got
it's
so much
more. It's all law enforcement.
Ramadan is a very famous fast, obviously, because of the length of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is supposed to teach Muslims patience and modesty, spirituality. Yeah. You ask Allah for forgiveness, pray for guidance, and you purify yourself.
And that it's really effective, man. Like getting this this mindset of, oh, I want this, so I'll have it right now, out of your head for a little while, even a day. Really kind of opens your eyes a little bit beyond that one single day.
So just denial.
Yeah,
boy,
self-denial.
You are Catholic, aren't you?
Right.
It never leaves you, does it?
Well, I have to say that like the further I've gotten away from Catholicism, the more into self-denial I've gotten, ironically. Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, let's talk about medical fasting. That's an overview of religious fasting. We could get a lot more detailed.
That's a good one.
But,
nice transition.
Thank you.
Well, medical fasting... a lot of people have probably engaged in, if you've ever had some sort of test done, a lot of times they're like, don't eat the night before your appointment.
Sometimes 24 hours if it's like certain kinds of blood tests.
Yeah. The reason for this is pretty straightforward and logical. With blood tests in particular, they want your body to have metabolized all the food, so they have a pretty good idea of what your baseline levels of things like cholesterol,
right.
blood sugar, all of these things are in your system normally. If you, you know, ate a handful of chicken fat right before you went in for your cholesterol test, it's going to skew the results a little bit.
Yeah, that fat's going to be in your blood.
But if you haven't eaten in 24 hours and your blood shows the same levels of lipids that, as if you had just eaten a handful of chicken fat, your physician's going to be like, we have to save your life right now.
Well, yeah. If your baseline indicates something that scary, then...
No more chicken fat.
No more chicken fat.
And same goes with if you were going to go under.
Yeah, for surgery.
Yeah, which apparently this one's becoming outdated. We both had surgery recently. You went all the way under, didn't you?
I went into twilight sleep for my tooth.
I went all the way under. And I don't know what my oral surgeon used, but she brought me out, like, totally. I was wide awake within an hour of being put under. Like, she did the procedure, and then I was wide awake. I still need to ask her.
You weren't groggy?
No.
Oh, dude, I was
like,
so
I was
groggy.
Just right back.
I love the Twilight sleep, actually.
Yeah.
It was pretty rocking.
I mean, I was still wasted, but it was like I was awake. It wasn't like huge time loss or anything like that. Yeah. Anyway, I wasn't supposed to eat. I thought just eat, but it's eat or drink, and they had to delay my surgery like 3 hours because I was a jackass and drank some coffee.
Huh.
And the whole reason, I didn't understand why until I read this article, but the whole reason they tell you not to eat or drink anything for, you know, the night before you're put under is because they're worried you're going to puke and choke on your vomit like John Bonham.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just it could make you nauseous. Until I read this, I didn't realize that was the deal.
No, but they may be phasing it out because it can make you nauseous if you don't eat. If you take all those drugs on an empty stomach,
right?
You may be likelier to be nauseated.
And it's also really rare that they found. So I think it's not. I mean, they still did it with me, but the article says that it may be phased out because it's such a rare thing to choke like that.
Right. And they're saying, well, a lot more people are having trouble with dizziness, fainting, because they haven't eaten anything.
Gotcha.
And we just pumped them full of drugs. So we're going to go ahead and let people eat. And I want to take a minute to explain the difference between nauseous and nauseated.
You know this?
Yeah. So nauseous means that you're causing nausea, right? So I'm making you nauseous. I'm nauseous to you.
Okay.
Okay? Nauseated means that you're feeling or suffering from nausea.
Oh.
So
you wouldn't say I'm
making
nauseous.
You nauseated. I'm nauseous to you. No, I'm nauseated is what you would say.
Well, I'm so glad we cleared that
Unless you are aware that you're making other people nauseous.
And that's with
nauseated.
That's behaviorally speaking?
What do you mean?
Well, like you're nauseated with someone's actions? Or does that mean literally physically?
Right. Okay. You're nauseated with somebody's actions that would make the other person nauseous. They have the ability to cause nausea in other people.
Gotcha. I never knew that.
It's a big deal.
The more you know.
Thank you, Worldwide Words, by the way.
Is that where that came from?
Yeah, that's a great site.
I haven't seen it.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey, everybody. Did you know that Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico? But it's more than just a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Yeah, that's right. It's an island that's filled with adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the entire United States.
That's right. Or you can get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico that remind you of why you travel in the first place.
Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you.
That's right. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
So what happens when you stop eating? Your body is going to start burning, you know, if you don't have any protein, your body's going to break down your muscle. It's going to start eating that because that's protein.
Yeah.
It's kind of a scary notion.
It is, which is why if you're on a low-calorie diet, you want to eat lean protein.
Yeah, and it's also why you'll feel weak if you're on, like, a hunger strike.
Yeah.
like to the point where you can't get out of bed if it's you haven't eaten for 3 weeks.
Or you're hallucinating.
Exactly. A long-term fast can damage your heart.
Because your heart's a muscle. And what your body's doing is going after your muscle because your muscle is made of amino acids, which is the building blocks of protein. So it's saying, well, basically we have a bunch of store of amino acids here. Where your brain is like, no, I use that to lift things, or I use that to pump blood.
Right.
Your body's like, no, it's a bunch of amino acids, and I need it right now.
Yeah.
If you feed your body lean protein, logically speaking, it will go after other things, e.g. fat stores, because
right.
it has protein.
Right. So aside from the heart, though, liver and kidneys can also decrease in size if you don't have enough protein
yeah.
and damage those as well.
Which is not good.
It is not good.
That leads us pretty clearly to fasting for weight loss, right?
Yes.
There's a weird catch-22 for fasting for weight loss where your body, if given few enough calories or if on a fast, enters what's called starvation mode. And when you enter starvation mode, it does things like going after your muscles, which is bad.
Yeah.
But it also lowers your metabolism to preserve calories. So the fewer calories you take in, the fewer calories you end up burning.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Not weird. It actually makes perfect sense.
Yeah, but it's also extremely unhealthy.
It is. And there's I dug into WebMD for this, and they say that there's a lot of controversy on this. People say, you know, some people say it can be effective. Other people say it can't.
Mm-hmm.
But they say if you really weed through all this stuff, that most medical experts say that it is not healthy at all. It'll come back quickly. If you fast to lose weight, it's really just liquids. Beyonce made a lot of headlines when she did the Master Cleanse and lost 20 pounds for Dreamgirls.
Well.
Awesome movie. Did you see that?
No.
I don't know if you'd like it. Might not be your thing.
Okay.
It was good, though. Health risks that we already covered. Liver, kidney, and heart. And this doctor says, you know, people try all these weird diets. There's 100,000 different books on odd diets.
Mm-hmm.
When everyone knows the way to lose weight is lower your fat, eat 5 fruits and vegetables a day, drink a lot of water, and do some exercise and get plenty of sleep. If they say, I want to fast, let's say you want to fast and do a good enema just to clean yourself out. Very, very dangerous to do that.
What? Enemas? No, they're not.
To do an enema while you're on a fast.
Oh, okay.
It's not a good 1-2 punch.
Okay.
WebMD says what you're going to do is you're going to flush your intestinal tract of your good bacteria and put your health at serious risk. And this is the whole detoxification thing. There's one camp that says, you know, your body detoxes itself. There's no scientific evidence that any of these cleanses do any good. Then there's another camp that says, well, if you're eating healthy, then your body's doing a great job of detoxifying itself.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't eat healthy. They eat packaged processed foods. And so your body could actually use some help detoxifying.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. It's the same thing with saunas. Like, they're like, well, yeah, I mean, you might only sweat like a very small amount of toxins out of your body, but you're still sweating that amount out. Why, how could that hurt? You're doing it properly.
There's definitely two camps on this. It's very controversial.
Yeah, same with a calorie-restricted diet, which I know we've talked about before. There's
yeah.
two camps on it. The fact of the matter is neither one knows for certain whether they're right.
That's true.
A lot of it's just based on common sense and logic.
Ketosis, if you go without eating for a couple of days, your body's going to enter a stage called ketosis, and that is what your goal is if you do the Atkins diet. They preach ketosis. And that's what happens when your body runs out of carbs to burn for energy, so it burns fat, which sounds like a good thing. But the breath I mentioned earlier, be prepared for really awful halitosis.
Is that right? Tell me about it, Chuck.
Well, that's just one of the side effects of fasting and ketosis is you're going to have rank halitosis. I don't know the science behind it, but it's true. And, so, you know, carry around, if you're going to be doing that kind of thing, just take care of your mouth a little more. Get a tongue scraper.
Nice. I think probably while we're on this, we should take the time to debunk the whole idea that you should be drinking 8 glasses of water a day.
Debunk?
Well, you should definitely drink water. It's not, it's good. It's good to drink water, but that whole 8 glasses a day thing, there's people who rigidly drink 8 glasses of water a day.
Right.
Totally arbitrary.
Okay.
And,
what there, the amount
yes.
is?
Yeah. There's a guy named, Tim Crow, who's a professor of nutrition at Deakin University, who's kind of gone to the trouble of debunking this. Apparently back in 1945, the U.S., recommended 2.5 liters of water a day.
Was it part of the war effort?
I would imagine so. so this is where this whole 8 glasses came from, right? But there's also been this whole it has to just be water idea,
right?
Like it can't be coffee, it can't be salt.
Well, no, that one guy said liquids, water and other liquids.
Right.
At least on WebMD.
Technically, you could get it all from Cokes, which is, you know, it's going to have all these other side effects. Yeah. But it's water, you know. One of the main ingredients in Coke is water. Same with coffee, same with tea, all this other stuff. So if you're drinking water, drink water. But that whole 8 glasses a day thing is apparently not true.
Says that one guy?
Mm-hmm. The problem is water intake varies by body size, weight. It's two individuals say 8 glasses a day.
Yeah, but let's put it this way. It's never going to be bad for you, is it?
Yeah, there's you can die of water toxicity.
Well, not from 8 glasses of water.
No, but people have died
like that
from
lady
drinking
who did
so
that,
much water.
That lady who did that contest drank like 12 gallons of water or something like that.
I know, isn't that crazy?
That wasn't that much, but it was a lot.
And then, I'm sorry, there's one other problem that can develop from not eating, from fasting. When you lose minerals, not only can you hallucinate, but specifically if you have not enough potassium, copper, and magnesium, you can lose electricity or electrical function in your heart.
That's not good.
No.
Well, it's also going to put a big hit on your immune system if you're fasting. You're going to have a real hard time fighting off sickness. And if you get sick, you're going to have a real hard time getting better.
Yes.
Because you're not getting the stuff you need, the good stuff.
Agreed.
The nutrients.
So what's next, Chuckers?
Hunger strikes. That's really the last reason that we have for fasting. And throughout history, a lot of people have made political statements by going on very public hunger strikes to raise awareness. And it's, you know, it's a good way to get attention if you're a Gandhi, let's
Definitely.
Say.
Definitely. And Gandhi did do that, I think, in 1945, because the crown was saying, hey, let's get this new Indian constitution underway, and let's codify the caste system that keeps people in this horrible socioeconomic hierarchy. And Gandhi said, you know what? You do that, and I'm not going to eat, and the whole world will pay attention.
And
the Brits were like, oh, shut up. And Gandhi was like, no, I'm going to do it. And they're like, oh, no, you're not. And he did it, and everybody paid attention.
And he said, one day Sir Richard Attenborough will make a movie about me.
Is that who made Gandhi?
I think so.
Huh.
And Ben Kingsley will play me.
And everybody was
because
like,
he looks
Ben
just
Kingsley.
Like me.
That's cray-cray. That's good stuff, Chuck. That was a great back and forth.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Sands, the infamous Irish hunger strike in Ireland, and I'm sorry, in 1981 in May's prison in Northern Ireland, he fasted for 66 days, and I'm pretty sure he had some of his IRA cohorts taking part in it with him.
Yeah, I think 9 other guys died.
Oh, was it?
Including him.
Okay.
Well, 66 then. Days.
Yeah, so they had demands, various demands, like, hey, we want to wear our own clothes. We want to be able to socialize and
correspond with the outside world.
Sure. Mail some letters here and there. We shouldn't have to do penal work as part of our sentence here. And 9 prisoners died, like you said, and 60 others died in the violence that followed. I think there were some riots that happened afterward. And it was a really big deal. I think I wrote about that in my How Long Can You Go Without Food and Water article many moons ago.
That's where we talked about the calorie-restricted diet, isn't it?
I think so.
I'll have to tweet that episode. It's a good one.
Agreed. Man, that seems like a gazillion years ago, doesn't it?
I don't even remember what was in it.
I don't either.
And then we mentioned the 40-hour famine, which is an annual event in Australia. And basically people say, I'm not going to drink food or water for 40 hours, and I'm going to raise awareness. Like, that's a really good way to raise awareness, to just say, I'm not eating.
Yeah.
And you can't make me. And then people will try. Authorities will be like, no, we have to keep you alive because we want to keep you in prison. Logic all over the place, huh?
Jerks.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey, everybody. Did you know that Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico? But it's more than just a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Yeah, that's right. It's an island that's filled with adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the entire United States.
That's right. Or you can get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico that remind you of why you travel in the first place.
Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you.
That's right. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
You got anything more about fasting?
No.
Fasting?
You know, be careful if you're out there. It's anorexia is a real problem in the world. Yeah. And it can get out of hand. And there was a sidebar in this article we didn't cover, but we'd be remiss without mentioning that.
Anorexia nervosa.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not good.
No. Neither is bulimia.
I saw a thing recently where a plus-size model, did you see this? This female plus-size model had her picture taken with a regular model, and they were like both nude and just hugging, and it looked like she was hugging a small child. And I think they had, and she was doing this to raise awareness that, like, this image that they put out with models is just, A, unattainable, and B, unsafe. And I think that, I can't remember the year, but it was something like 20 years ago, the average model was like 8%. Smaller and thinner than your average person. Mm-hmm. And nowadays it's like 25% or 23%.
Well, not only that, they alter them digitally through like Photoshop or some other photo editing suite. Yeah, to just do crazy things for them. They don't even look right if you see what they do to them in Photoshop afterward.
It's crazy. It's a great article. I wish I could remember where it was. It was going around Facebook though, but I think it is a very good message to send out that Chuck from Stuff You Should Know thinks that that plus size model was uber hot and sexy.
Well, good for you, Chuck.
She looked good, man. That's how a woman should look.
That was very nice of you.
Not like that little frail
waif
of a lady.
Yeah.
Like, and if you're like that naturally, I'm not, you know, I don't want to make you feel bad about yourself. But if you're starving yourself to make you look like that, then some guys like a little junk in the trunk, as they say.
I think that's an excellent one to end this on. Way to go, Chuck.
Thank you.
So you have nothing more now about fasting?
No, nothing more.
Any other discourse?
Jerry's just laughing. He's like, boy, these guys are spiraling.
Well, if you want to know more about fasting, you can type that word into the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And Chuck said junk in the trunk, so that brings up listener mail. So, listener mail, as I just said, right?
I'm shaking my head now.
I knew that you were going to say that.
South by Southwest announcement continues.
Is this the generic one or the specific one?
This is the generic version.
Okay. This is the where this is filled with deceit and trickery.
Yes, we are having a party on Monday, March 12th in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
No badge required.
Let's not forget also, dude, we're doing an official live podcast on the day before, March 11th.
Yeah, 3:30 p.m.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you remembered that. What's going on March 12th?
March 12th is a party we're having in, at a place to be announced later, downtown Austin, and there will be performers, comedians, bands, and some other special treats. And it will be in the evening hours.
Yeah, it'll be a cool party.
Early evening hours.
Can we call it a party?
It's a party.
Okay. It'll be a party. So
and
be there.
You don't have to have a badge for this. Yeah, you do have to have a badge for the live podcast on Sunday.
You probably have to be 21, wouldn't you think? Do you?
No, I think it's a restaurant
as well.
Yeah, I think you can come in there and eat.
Awesome.
Or if you're 21, you can come in there and drink your face off.
Yep.
Well, bring your pocketbook. We're not buying drinks.
No. You can buy us drinks.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Can we get to it now?
Yes.
Okay.
Appropriately, this is from an Aussie fan that wants to raise awareness for weight loss.
Weird.
I know. Funny how that works.
Yeah.
Greetings from Down Under. I just wanted to plug a little something for the Aussie corner of the SYSK Nation, and we have a lot of Australian fans.
It's substantial.
Yeah. One of our major Aussie broadcasters has started a new initiative called the 1 Million Kilo Challenge. And the goal is to get Australians to collectively pledge to lose 1 million kilos. It's about 2.2 million pounds for you backwards folk, as she calls us.
Mm-hmm.
Their site is www.1, and it's the number one,
okay,
millionkilochallenge.com.au. That means Australian.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you all the diet and exercise plans you need to shed that flab in 10 weeks, starting on January 30th. Maybe I should do this. You can complete the challenge as an individual or as a team. So I thought, why not rally the SYSK Army? I think it would be a great way for Aussie listeners. I'm sorry, I keep saying Aussie. It's really Aussie, as they say.
Okay.
Aussie listeners to interact, get healthier, and dominate all the other teams. So I created a team, conveniently named them Team SYSK.
Nice.
International folk always complain when we can't enter your contests. So how about we make this the official Aussie thing? Of course, you guys can still sign up if you're willing to fake an Aussie address and get your kilos to pounds converter at the ready. I have pledged to lose 5.3 kilograms, that's 11.7 pounds,
mm-hmm.
That I put on last year. And I'm really pumped up about it. I don't know how to get this out to the SYSK Nation, but I would love it if we could encourage any other Aussie or otherwise listeners to sign up and fight the flab together. And this is how you do it, Liv. You email us, and we read it the next day. So here we are. And she says, P.S., I noticed the Colbert Nation doesn't even have a team, so we've already one-up them again.
Nice. And that's in 30 days.
January 30th is when it kicks off. And that is number one, millionkilochallenge.com.au. And throw a www in front of that, and you'll be taken straight there.
And is there a team page?
She said she started Team SYSK, so I guess it might be like Kiva, where you might can enter that in a team section or something and find out.
Okay.
I'm going to look after this, actually.
All right. Well, we'll publicize it if we can.
And that is Liv.
Thanks a lot, Liv. We appreciate you going to that trouble. And thanks to everybody listening. If you have a cool story that you want to tell us about, it doesn't matter if it has to do with fasting or anything else. We want to hear it. Just whatever. General assignment. How about that? Yeah?
Yeah.
You can find us on Twitter at SYSK Podcast, Facebook at facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow, and you can also reach us via email at stuffpodcast@discovery.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join How Stuff Works staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.